I quit walking on the pews a long time ago. Actually, my voice is getting a little stronger. It's real weak when I got back too. They don't know what happened. I don't either. Let's see, you ain't go. Oh, there it is, way over there. I'm looking for something. There it is. Let's talk about Brother Dickman. I have a note from his dad. Malcolm used to send me all kinds of notes. He put it in an envelope, and it's never any bigger than this. That's it. And he'd always send a joke and a couple of verses and a word of encouragement. I guess I'll tell you this joke he sent. I might get some of y'all mad at me, but I didn't write this. Brother Dickman wrote this. And if you're mad at him, you're going to have to take it up. You have to wait because he's in heaven. But the joke, he said, the difference between a mother-in-law and a pit bull is a lipstick. But he never said which one was wearing the lipstick. So anyhow, I'll just give you that. Before we read, I'll probably say a little bit here in the message. And not only has my health gotten worse, so is my preaching. So I'll try not to bore you too long. But I'm going to tell you right now, this building is just makes you want to preach, makes you want to sing. We were talking about before the service, pretty neat. I went to the Philippines 2007 and to be eyes and ears for an outfit that was supporting a missionary. He'd been there for 20 years. He went there and married Filipino, and he's never come back to the United States. Been over there 21 years or something like that. And started several churches, as well as his own family. When I left, they had 8, and I imagine they'll probably have one more. I suppose that's how they are. He has a lot of them. So I went there, and I come back after a month, and I got letters from Gimmer State College and several high schools on the island. Central, they don't call them elementary, central schools. And they wanted me to come back to the Philippines and preach to their students and sing and play the instruments. I play several musical instruments. And so I did. And I don't even know, because we didn't keep track. But we preached probably, Brother Vernas was my interpreter where we needed it. We preached to probably 6,000 plus, I guess, students and teachers, and gave them all tracts and stuff. How many got saved, I couldn't tell you. We just went in and did what we were asked to do. One lady came up to me, one teacher at Axanayan High School, and she asked me, she says, "Is this what you do in America?" I said, "No." I said, if I did in America, in their public schools, what I'm doing here in your public schools, they'd have me in front of a judge and probably in jail." And she almost started crying, and she said, "Well, I thought it was free there." I said, "Well, it's not as free as you think, and it's not as free as they think." I said, "I can get up and preach about anybody in the world, from Confucius to Muhammad, but I can't say nothing about Jesus." Kind of strange in a country that was founded on the Bible, isn't it? Kind of a weird set of affairs we got going. And I do miss it. I had to come back. I didn't intend to stay there but about a year. But I was there almost 5. And the last 2 years, I spent a whole lot of time just trying to stay alive. I got real, real sick, not even just from that fall. All kinds of stuff. I fought off pneumonia 3 times. And I didn't go in the hospital. I'd already been in the hospital, and I didn't want to go back. So my doctor said, "Can you get enough money to stay in the hotel here near the hospital?" I said, "Yeah, I'll do that." But I told him, I said, I love you, Doc. It's Dr. Pito. He was the head of the hospital, head administrator. I said, "It ain't got nothing to do with you guys." I said, "You're very good doctors. Your equipment is your problem." And I said, "And your bathrooms in this hospital are worse than a Western Kansas gas station. And I don't need to be falling down in that and picking up whatever else." So I stayed in the hotel for a few actually a couple of weeks, I guess. Anyhow, that's that. I miss it. I came to love them people, and at times I hated them. It's kind of, well, you know how people are. I mean, it's same over here. You can't pretend to get along with everybody all the time. Sometimes these people just get under your skin. And when they did, I sought refuge so I didn't say anything bad and lose my testimony. I mean, my blood sugar was running over 400, and I was always in pain, couldn't hardly breathe. It wouldn't take much for me to quit preaching the gospel and start saying a few other things. So I said, Lord, I got to have a place to get away from these people so I can, you know, regroup and just kind of rest a little bit. I'll tell you about that maybe in this message. And I found me down the street there in the city. I went to Ilo Ilo a lot. I found me a little Dunkin' Donuts. I couldn't eat the donuts. I'm severe diabetic, but I could drink their coffee. Turned into be a good place to witness. I mean, what a blessing. The lady that managed during the day, Mom Apple, was saved and a Baptist, and I got to give tracts out, keep them on the tables for all the customers and give them out to them. And it was a clearinghouse for all the Dunkin' Donuts in that city. So everybody came there, clocked in, then went off to their to the other branches, and then they come back, you know, and clock out and help sort out the donuts in the back room. I gave out so many Bibles and talked to so many of them, and it was just it was a blessing. I didn't go there for that purpose. I was trying to get away, but it became not only a refuge and a little resting place for me, but it became a great place to get the gospel out. I had CDs. I don't have any with me. I don't sell them. I never have. And I had to sell my computer to kind of help get me back home, so I haven't been able to copy any, or I'd leave some here for you. But, of course, you may not like them, but they do make good Frisbees if you don't. You know, if you don't like them, you can practice your skeet shooting or something. But probably gave out around 3,000 or so CDs, each one with a gospel track. All the taxis in the city got them, and people got them everywhere. They played them at the Catholic hospital on the second floor. They played my CDs in the malls. They played it in the restaurant. They played it at Dunkin' Donuts. Of course, what they do is they put my CD on, and then when it got done, then they went back to the boom boom bang bang music. You go down around in the Philippines, and good night every other place, or you're walking down the street, they have big old speakers out there, and they're always blaring away, and somebody's always having a party or a grand opening or whatever, and they blasting away. But at least they got mine in there every now and then. All right, we better read. Matthew chapter 11. I should have brought my water in, because if I drink water while I'm preaching, it does a couple things. Keeps me from getting too dry, number one. And the second thing is for you, it always keeps the message short. You don't have to get any. It's all right. It keeps the message short. I wasn't saying it for that reason. And that helps you. So, all right, Matthew 11. And verse 25 says, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. That's an amazing passage if you just stop and think about the words as you're reading it and about your generation. If you spend any time on TV watching whatever, the news or political stuff, you know how stupid everybody is on television. They don't have stuff revealed to them because they won't spend time with God. They don't have any time in the Word of God, and they don't give Jesus Christ his due. And then where I'm going to get to is a very familiar passage here. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to come by this way, and I'm glad to see the brother again and to be able to preach. And Lord, you know I need you so much. I pray this message will go forth in thy might and in thy power, Lord. It'd be true to the word of God, and you'd put a guard on my lips, open up understanding and hearts, and God supply needs in people's hearts and lives. You know each one here. I don't know anybody, Lord, don't know what their needs are. But I know we always need to hear from you. There's always something going on in our life where we need to hear from you. So help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thank you. Yeah, I'll take a little sip because my messages, they're really not very long, but they can get long. Of course, I got a pretty bad throat on me tonight. When you read this passage, I'm just going to talk maybe about three things here. And you read in verse 28, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, I will give you rest." In light of what he just had said in verse 25, 6, and 7, and you read all that together, I don't know if you ever thought about it, but how audacious, how self-centered and conceited verse 28 is when it starts out. I mean, here's the Lord, "Come unto me, I'll give you rest." Essentially, what the Lord's saying here is, I'm the answer. I'm the answer. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If he is not who he said he was, well, that's pretty audacious right there. I like that word. I ain't sure what it means. It's conceited, self-centered. Look at me. You got the old country western guy, you know, it's all about me. No, it ain't all about you. Very little of it's about you. It's about Jesus Christ. You live in a very spoiled, rotten generation. You live in a generation that thinks that it belongs to them. It doesn't belong to you, it belongs to God. One day he's going to recall everything too. But if Jesus Christ was not who he said he was, or is not who he says he is, what a statement that is. You turn on late night TV, man, they got all kinds of products that'll answer all the needs you have. Isn't that right? Turn on the radio, you flip through the, I'm driving, flip through the radio, and they're always selling this pill and that pill. And it's amazing to me, because 20 years ago it was this thing, and that was going to answer and heal everything and help you out. And then 5 years later, you don't hear about that anymore, and it's some new thing coming along, and then another new thing, and another new thing. And then what they do is they run out of new things, so they rehash the old thing because everybody forgot, and they talk about them like they're new things. And they're the answer to everything. And they're not. They never have been. I graduated from high school. Well, how to put it? I graduated on time. But I left a year early to go to Bible college, which, looking back on my life, I'm very sure that's a mistake. But it did anyway. And the school board allowed me to go, because I had more credits than needed to graduate, but I was lacking in two required subjects, a world history and government. So the agreement was I could go on, but I had to take those two subjects by correspondence. And I don't remember if it was K-State or KU, but anyways, one of the K's there. I'm a Kansas boy. I live in Tennessee in the mountains. I don't know how that happened. We ain't got no mountains in Kansas. We got one tree, we guard it real well. But I went off and I got this letter one day from the professor of the world, the government. And it said, "Mr. Harrison, you are too simplistic. You think that the answer to all the world's problems is Jesus Christ." Signed, Professor so-and-so. I read that, thought about it, and I wrote back a letter. I was respectful. I said, "Dear Professor, the reason I believe that the answer to all the world's problems is Jesus Christ is because The answer to all world's problems is Jesus Christ. Simony. I'm not real smart. I'm not dumb, but I'm not real smart. But I just look at it. It all boils down pretty simple to me, right? I mean, they're wasting all kinds of money hollering about the economy and the taxes and all the rest of this kind. It's real simple. But it takes college graduates to mess it all up. It's like the Bible. I mean, there's parts of the Bible that I would agree are not so simple. But if you just read the Bible and believe it, God will show you things as you go along there. It takes a theologian to mess it up. Really. So they're doing all this stuff. And the thing is, if you're in a bad economic situation, there's only two things you can do. One is get more income, or quit spending so much money, right? Or both. I guess three things. I got stopped by one of the crossing guards in Iloilo one day, and I was been crossing that street for I don't know how many years, two or three years, and then all of a sudden the new mayor wanted to be like America. He put up all kinds of dividers and stuff, just ruined the traffic. I mean, before he did that, you could drive on whatever side of the road you want to drive on. And if it was clear and you could drive on the sidewalk, a lot of my friends said, man, they're crazy over here. I said, I like the way they drive over here. I hate yellow lines and white lines. Think of all the paint you'd save and all that lead that wouldn't be going out in the atmosphere. Just drive where it's clear to drive. You know, they did good. But he's going, I told him, I said, please don't put your hand on me. I've been crossing this thing 3 years without you. You're going to get me killed. And, oh, I said, you're a rich American, because every American over there is rich. Almost. And I looked at him, I had answers for that all the time, but I looked at him, I said, let me ask something. I said, you smoke? Yep. I said, you drink Tandwai, White Horse, Red Horse, whatever. You know? Uh-huh. You gamble. Cockfighting's a national sport. They got it on TV twice a week. Yeah. I said, are you taking care of a woman other than your wife? yeah. I said, good night, bud. If you quit them four things, you'd have money. Right? I mean, that takes money. Gambling, drinking, smoking, and taking care of two women at one, maybe more, but I mean, at least two, you know. I said, you'd have a whole ton of money if you quit all that. He just smiled, and I went across the street. Think about that. The Lord says, I'm the answer. Now, look, you sit in here tonight, and you got problems. Everybody's got problems in this life we're living in. You got troubles. You don't know which way to turn. If you're sitting in here tonight and you don't have a hope of heaven in your heart, I sang about heaven. If you sat there while I was singing about heaven and it meant absolutely nothing to you, there's something bad wrong. Right. Something bad wrong with you. I mean, I don't profess to be a good singer. I don't profess to have a good voice. I'm just telling you, if somebody's talking or singing about heaven and it ain't, there's nothing registering in you, something's wrong with you. Maybe you're saved, but good night. Don't tell me you're saved and you want to stay down here forever. I'm not going to do myself in, but be fine with me to go tonight. Be fine with me. But maybe you're not saved. Boy, if all you have is hope in this life, you're done. You're already cooked. You're goose cooked, buddy. When this life is over, you're going to get a whole lot worse than this if you're not saved. You're going to go to hell and burn forever. But those of us who are saved, that's one of the hopes that gets us through the troubles and the trial and the heartache, because we know it isn't going to be long, you know. To me, life is like a Band-Aid, taking a Band-Aid off a hairy arm. You know, I mean, you rip it off, it just stings and hurts just for a little bit, and then when it's over with, it just feels so good. That's what heaven's going to be, man. You get out of here, the Lord's going to go rip like, you know, up you go. Going to go home. He says, come unto me. So I want to tell you the call from him is a cry from him to the world, and he says, come to me. I'm the answer. But the world doesn't want him. Now, this passage is preached a lot to lost people, but I'm applying it tonight to save people. I'm applying it because he's speaking to his own. See? And I can apply it that way because I'm one of his. I belong to him. He saved me years and years and years ago, and I'm sure if he hadn't given his word and sealed me, he might have thrown me in the trash, forgot all about me, but he saved me, he stuck with me. I'm going home to heaven no matter what. And thank God for that. Come unto me, all ye that labor. He cries out to all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Who is he calling to? He's calling to people under a burden. I had a friend down in Houston. His daddy he's dead now, as a preacher. And his daddy used to say, I don't think God would ever save a lazy man. Now, I don't go that far. But they asked him, well, why you think that, Pop? And he said, well, what would he do with him? If he saved a lazy man, what would he do? You know, it's like the guy roll over in his bed, wake up in the morning, says, well, Lord, what do you want me to do today? And the Lord said, how about getting out of bed for starters? Amen. Are you one of them that keep punching the snooze, you know? Come unto me, all ye that labor. Boy, this world's under a heavy load, isn't it? I sat over there in the Philippines, I watched, and I'd sit in the Dunkin' Donuts, watch them go by, watch them come in. If they could afford it, they'd be carrying a laptop. They'd have a bag, a shoulder bag, and they'd be carrying a couple other bags from Unitop or one of the stores, you know, where they bought a bunch of stuff. They'd be carrying that in, and then they'd always have, well, the ladies called them purses. I called them suitcases. Not day as big. And they'd have all that stuff, and come in there, and they'd have to find a place to put it and leave it over here and leave it over there, and then pick it all up and figure out how they're going to carry their box of donuts and all that stuff. And I looked at that thought, I said, good night. What a burden. You know, I'm at the age, Brent, I wish pants only had one pocket. I ain't no stinking mule. Why would I buy cargo pants? I have a pair. You say, why is that? If you only had one pocket, you'd only have to look in one pocket wherever you put what it was you was looking for. I'm looking for something. I go in this pocket, that pocket, the back pocket, the other pocket, the coat pocket, the pocket pocket. I wasn't meant to be a pack mule. I just need one pocket maybe, you know, and one pocket here carried the tracks. Burdened down. Always going fast, man, over there. And here, too, I noticed they're always going, they'll run over you in the malls. That policeman one time, he said, why are you walking the streets? Why don't you walk on the sidewalk? I said, look at your sidewalks. Number one, they're crooked. They got a slope to them. They're broken up, and they're full of vendors. And then everybody's going down the sidewalk like this. It is the text capital of the world, the Philippines. It's getting pretty bad over here. And they're doing it. I said, they're not paying attention. They're going to kill me. Well, he said, what happens if one of them jeepneys run over you or a taxi runs over you? I said, well, bud, if they kill me, that's your problem, not mine. Right? I mean, I ain't going to worry about it. I said, if they don't, my hospital just over here a couple blocks. Be all right. I said, it's safer out here with the taxis and the jeepneys and the trikes and the multicabs than it is on the sidewalk with the people. But they're back and forth. They're running to and fro. They're hurrying here and hurrying there. The burden, burden, burden. And the Lord says, are you laboring? Are you burdened? Come to me. Now, you know what I know? I know you can be weary and well-doing. I know that because Paul told us not to be. If Paul says, be not weary in well-doing, then you can be weary in well-doing. And Jesus Christ said this, men ought always to pray and not to faint. I mean, you can get wore out doing right. I did. That's why I found that Dunkin' Donuts, a place I could sit down, and it was one of the very, I think it might have been the only place in that city where you got a free refill. You didn't get free refills on your coffee over there. I mean, nobody gave you free refill. It's not like here, you run the gas station, get your free refills of Coke, you know, McDonald's or Arby's or whatever, and it ain't like that there. You want another one, you're gonna pay for it. That's all there is to it. And I'd sit in there and I'd watch these people and watch them and watch them. And I'd think, you know what? They don't have any rest. I have no rest. The Lord said, I give you rest. Now you came to the Lord to get rest and of salvation. And then after you save, sometimes God people forget where to get their rest. So I'm all wore out. I'm all tired. And you get back in the Lazy Boy and turn on the boob tube. What kind of rest are you going to get out of the television? Well, you might be like my dad, and I'm a little bit that way. My dad come home, and later on at night, he'd turn on the TV, get back in his easy chair, and go to sleep. And if he got up and turned it off, he'd wake up, and he'd go turn it on, and he'd go back to sleep. I'm a little bit that way. But you can't get rest from this world. This world doesn't know how to rest. It doesn't know how to give you rest. But Jesus does. And you know what you need sometimes as a child of God? You need to go find you somewhere. I mean, get you a Dunkin' Donuts. I don't know. You need to go find some place to sit down and get away from it all and just rest. Just rest. That stinking cell phone. Of course, I'm not high tech anyway. But good night, brother. I'm not preaching how evil it is to own a cell phone. But I'm going to tell you right now, there are people just led around by the nose. The cell phone goes off every 5 minutes. I told a friend of mine, I said, put that thing away for about a day. Put it in a drawer. I said, you are going nuts. You missed lunch. He got a call. He's outside. I'm sitting. I ate. I ain't waiting on him. And he comes in 20 minutes. I said, put it away. Put it away. Oh, brother, something important. I said, ain't nothing that important. There's nothing worth your sanity, I guarantee you. And I said, I'll tell you something else. He said, well, somebody dies. I said, you having a cell phone ain't going to bring them back to life. You'll find out about it. Hello? I mean, you ever gone off? I did this one time. I left my house. Where am I? I need to drink some more water. I left my house, and I got one of them kitchen sinks that doesn't have a return thing in it. I mean, if you leave the water on, you're going to be swimming in your house. And I left, and I'd gotten about 5 miles down the road, and I thought, oh, did I turn that off? And I couldn't remember. I turned around, I was hightailing, and I said, wait a minute. Whoa. This ain't worth a speeding ticket. This ain't worth nothing. You're 5 miles down the road. If you left it on, it's too late now, bud. Hello? You think, I gotta have it. Hello. Throw the stinking thing away for about a day or two and see how much peace you get. People will bother you. They'll bother you. Well, I was trying to get a hold of the preacher today, and I didn't have any number but the church. And then I said, you know what? I bet he designed it like that. Anyway. Just kidding. Now you know what he said? He said, come me, I'll give you rest. You got your salvation from me. What makes you think he can't give you rest? You want something you need? You need to take a good nap with the Lord. You're like those disciples in that ship, man, and the wind's coming and the water's coming and the waves are coming and they're frustrated and they're going to and fro like drunks and they're being tossed around the boat and they don't know what to do and they go down there and they're looking for Jesus and he's sleeping. And they wake him up. Don't you care what's going on? Grab a pillow and get out of here and sleep with me. You need to learn to rest with the Lord. Some of you can't do it, can you? Some of you are Martha. Martha, 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 Martha. You're just running here and running there and running everywhere. One of these days you just need to tell the whole thing to stop and you need to sit down at the feet of Jesus and get some rest. But you need to. I used to get mad at my dad. Now I know why I did it. I'm not mad at him. I'm just a little frustrated. We go on a long trip. He'd stop every 150 miles and get pie and coffee. Now that I've driven over half my life everywhere, I understand that. I know what he's doing. He knew he'd better get some rest if he's going to keep on driving. Besides that, he knew where to get good fine coffee, I guess. He says this, take my yoke, 29, upon you and learn of me, and learn of me. All right, he's giving this call to everybody. And then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And let me tell you this. You can't learn about Jesus Christ without yoking up with him. Now, you can yoke up with him, not learn of him, but it's impossible to learn of him without yoking up with him. People say, I'm going to do this for the Lord, and I'm doing that for the Lord, and I'm working for the Lord, and I'm going to do this for the Lord, and look what I'm doing for the Lord. I'm doing all this for the Lord. I can tell you something better than working for the Lord. So what is it? Working with him. If you're not yoked up with him, how do you know you're doing what he wants you to do in the first place? If you're yoked up with him, you couldn't go wrong, because he's going to lead you right where you need to go. And when it's time to rest, he's going to lead you to rest too. David said, lead me beside still waters. See, sometimes you just need to get by the still waters and rest. When I go down sometimes to Pensacola, Florida, I never miss. I did it this time. I always get up as early as I can in the morning, run down across the bridge, Gulf Breezer, and over into Pensacola Beach. And I got this little spot I just pull off to, and I sit and watch the sun come up. Sometimes, if I got time, I go down there and watch it go down. That's all I do. I don't get out and walk the beach. Are you kidding? You ever walked in sand with crutches? You can't do it. There's something about that that's restful, that's peaceful. And you need to yoke up with him. How do you know you're doing what God wants you to do if you don't yoke up with him? It's wonderful to serve the Lord. But Paul says we're fellow laborers with him. It's better to be working with him, because then you know you're doing the right thing. Come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Learn of him. You know, when Paul got saved, and I'm about done, when Paul got saved, Apostle Paul, he asked two questions. The first question he asked is, who art thou, Lord? And he never quit asking that question. He got over there in Philippians, he said, I count all things but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, and to count them but dung, that I may win Christ, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. Paul never quit wanting to know about Jesus Christ. There used to be an old gospel song. It's not in the regular hymn books. I think it's in a couple of small things. And that old song said, I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord. The song went, while traveling through this world of sorrow, so forth and so on. I want to know more. I want to know more. Isn't it amazing all the facts and statistics and all the things we put in our brain and the stuff we want to learn and try to memorize, and we know this and we know that and all this stuff. How about the Lord? How well you know him? If you're not dead, then boy, I hope none of you are. If you are, you're scaring me. But if you're not dead, you ought to know more about Jesus now than you knew last year. Don't tell me you know all about God there is to know. How can you do that? He's infinite. People say, this is awesome. That was an awesome sandwich. I get mad when they say that. You say, why? Because there's only one thing awesome in this universe, and that's God. God's awesome. And he's so awesome you can't figure him out. And you ought to know more about your Savior right now than you knew about him 6 months ago. You ought to know more about him. You say, how am I going to do that? You got to spend time with him. That's the only way to know about somebody, spend time with him, right? And if they're already dead, then you read books, you get everything you can about them. He's not dead, he's alive. You spend time with him in the book, and you spend time with him in prayer. And pay attention. Pay attention to what goes on in your life and look back on some of the history and you'll find the hand of God you never knew was there. You'll find it. He was there. He's there. So he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest for your souls. You know how you get rest from the Lord? You yoke up with him and learn of him. And that's how you find rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, ye shall find rest. Back there in the Old Testament, Jeremiah told them there in chapter 6, and I think about verse 16, you know, stop, ask, and see the old paths wherein is a good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. And they said, we will not. You get a message on rest and resting in Jesus and casting all your cares on him and all of those things, and you walk out the door and you say, I ain't doing it. Well, okay, go ahead and run around like a lunatic then. This life will drive you nuts, you know that? And some of us are already three-quarters away there. It's not a long trip to nuts. You got to have rest. Got to have rest. Now look, years and years ago I came to Jesus Christ and I got saved. And when I got saved, there was turmoil and unrest in my soul. I can remember like it yesterday. I was sitting on a piano bench in a little lobby in a college dormitory in Kansas City, Missouri. Dick Keltner was the youth director. And Dick Keltner came by and he said, what's the matter, Rex? And I was sitting there, I was crying, man, and just all tore up inside. 3 or 4 days of preaching at that youth camp, all tore up. What's wrong? And I said, I'm not saved. I'm going to hell. And he just kind of looked at me, matter of fact, and he said, well, you know what to do, don't you? I was raised in church when my parents got right when I had polio. They were both drunks, fussing, fighting, smoking, drinking, everything else, and I got polio, and buddy, they snapped too. They both saved. They got back in church. They raised me up in church. And I said, yes. And he knelt down there with me, got down, knelt down there with the old couch there, and I prayed. He prayed. And that old turmoil and all the strife and all the uneasiness and all that stuff just was gone. And then as the years go by and you're saved and you try to walk with God, every now and then that stuff comes back. Uneasiness, unrest, troubles and trials hit you. The devil gets on you, the brethren get on you, you get on you. And the Lord says, don't you remember that old couch? You remember Bethel? I'll give you a rest. You took off the yoke. Get back in the yoke. I'll give you a rest. Isn't that funny? The Lord says, come and work with me. I'll give you rest. How do you get rest? Working with the Lord. Working with the Lord. And there's some, maybe you're here tonight, there's some of God's people that just wore out, and this world will wear you out. I don't know if you think about it, realize it or not. You don't have to do a lot of physical work to get wore out. You can just listen to the radio all day long. You can watch the TV. You can read the newspapers. You can pay attention to all this nonsense in the world that doesn't mean a thing. Ooh, isn't politics important? No, not really. It ain't going to make any difference. Not going to make any difference who gets in office or who stays in office, because they're not going to do what's needed to do to turn this country back to God. And if you don't know that, you ain't reading your Bible. That stuff will wear you out, you know it? Just wears on you and wears on you and wears on you until you don't even realize how bad it's wearing on you. You know what you need? Rest. And you know where to get it? The same place you got salvation. You just need to spend time with Jesus. What was that song Roloff used to sing? Keep in touch with Jesus. He will keep you sweet. Yeah, I don't know about some of us getting sweet, but I mean, you keep in touch with the Lord, buddy, you can get through and you'll have rest, see, in your soul. You'll have rest in your mind. You'll have rest in your body. You'll have rest. You'll have rest. Come unto me, all ye labor heavy laden. Let me say this. I don't know this crowd. I barely recognize your preacher, and if I didn't have crutches, he probably wouldn't have known who I was. But I'll bet there's somebody in here. You're just frazzled, frizzled, and about ready to pop. You need to yoke up with him, get some rest. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, if you don't know for sure that your sins are forgiven, you're on your way to hell, you're going to burn forever and never get out. You say, what's the answer? Jesus Christ is the answer. He'll save you. He died for you. He shed his blood for you. For what? To save your soul from hell. And the love of God is in him. And boy, there ain't nothing as consoling your soul as the love of God. Lord, thank you tonight for the opportunity to come by. And I realize, Lord, sometimes my preaching is a little scattered, kind of messy. But I pray you'll take it, Lord, and deal with hearts. Comfort hearts, soothe hearts, give rest to those that need it. And Lord, if there's somebody here tonight that's not saved, help them, Lord. I know what you said. You said about the wicked in hell, you said that they have no rest day or night, no rest. We're looking forward to our eternal rest. Lord, I pray you'll deal with their hearts. And if somebody here nearest hell, God, tonight you'd save them. Tonight they come to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him for their soul salvation. Bless these folks. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.